You are tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast, premiered every Thursday at noon at bringingdowntheband.com and brought to you by No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, and Printfinity. Support the New Old Heads by visiting our Patreon at patreon.com/newoldheads.
Episode 81 of the New Old Heads podcast. I am Major 7th. I make beats. I got the hard drive to prove it. Longevity is directly in front of me. Take that Tuesday 12 t-shirt on. I see you. You got to promote DJ Metronome. We see you. Yep. Lone, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you, too.
Bears cup in hand.
Yeah, you know.
Shout out to the, before we get started, I'm going to say, is this the wolf hat or is this a tiger? What we got?
Lion?
That's a
lion?
Cheetah? A lion.
Okay, shout out to No Bad Ideas out of these collections.
Squirrel?
Yeah, this is different.
Not a squirrel.
Yeah, it's a little different. I hadn't seen that before, but they do take care of us, so shout out to them.
For sure.
Coleman Dental as well, 317-255-8546. Make sure you show them love.
Got some Coleman Dental chapstick right here, you know.
I got some in my car.
Hey, man, you know.
I like that. It's good packaging there. I like that presentation.
Yeah, it's got a unique smell to it as well.
Oh, what flavor is that?
I don't know.
Let's not go any further into that.
Yeah.
It's chap. I don't know. It smells fruity. I don't know.
Fair enough.
Yeah, let's keep moving.
Diagonal as always. DJ J Diff rocking the Printfinity camouflage Indiana Flame t-shirt.
Salutations.
My brother, how you doing today, sir?
I am here.
Okay. I don't know how to take that, man. You all right?
That's it.
You remember when, I don't remember what it was on, but somebody was making fun of Sidney Poitier.
Sidney who?
Sidney Poitier.
Poitier?
Man, God damn it.
I'm sorry,
I'm not
man.
About to do this with you today,
all right,
man.
Go ahead. What's
you know
story?
What the hell I said.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know what
what's the proper way to say it?
Poitier.
No, it's Poitier.
Yeah,
Poitier.
Like I said.
Yeah. You ain't say that, though.
Okay.
No, that's what he said.
What did he say, Jay Moore?
He said Poitier.
Oh, shit.
Poitois.
Immediately to my left, Mr. Wavy, light-skinned girls be loving me now. Mm-hmm. The golden voice. Not longevity. You're not longevity. You're Jay Moore.
Yes, I am.
How are you, sir?
Doing well, sir.
Sometimes you just got to throw the whole show away.
Smoking that crack. You smoke crack, don't you?
Hi, Mr. Wavy, light skinned girls,
whole eight ball.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing really well, man. It's finally we skip spring here.
Yes, sir.
And so it's summertime. So you know, got to cut on that like climate
90.
Control in the home.
Word.
It's
90
yesterday.
It is what it is.
We have a special guest in the building. Now I have not had a chance to meet this gentleman, but I just got a chance to chop it up, meet him today.
Crack.
It is not crack. I did not do drugs.
Crackish.
Stop, man.
The whole eight ball.
Let me introduce my man. DJ Helicon's in the building. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Welcome, man. Welcome.
Yeah, man. I appreciate the chaotic start the show is off to
this
evening.
Yes, sir. Lone just made a noise. I don't know what that was.
He hit himself in the face with the mic.
Yeah, I ran into the mic.
It's all good, though. It's all good.
Yeah,
like, we're glad to
was
have
it
you,
hit
man.
And run?
We're glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, the new old has experience, sir. You are... remember that Michael Vick commercial? Michael Vick experience? You are in the new old heads experience, sir.
The Sidney Poitier episode.
We might have to call that episode 81. I said Terrell Owens. Did we have any Tim Brown? I think you said Tim Brown.
Timmy.
I think we should. I think
Timmy.
Terrell Owens. I have to go ahead and
I think Terrell Owens is better than Tim Brown.
Yeah, I definitely got to go with Tim Brown.
Why?
Because I like Tim Brown more.
You know why he's going with Tim Brown.
You're right. I'm acting like I don't know why. Yeah.
Sir Troll.
Yeah,
there's no trolling there. He's
maybe
better.
Sidney Poitier wore number 81 in high school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I could see him playing ball.
Poitier.
I said it right.
Poitois.
Stop, man.
Yeah.
Well, I like Terrell Owens, so we'll go with that.
Oh, okay.
He gets no love from the Hall of Fame. We were talking.
I mean,
about
he did. He got into the Hall of Fame this year, but they made him wait just
they
because
made him wait out of spite.
The nerds and the weirdos who write for the, they didn't
exactly.
like him.
The writers,
because you know.
It is the writers.
Yeah, it's the writers. I mean, they did the same thing to Chris Carter.
Yep.
Where they felt like he was a little arrogant. Not that he did anything wrong.
Okay, what NFL football player is not arrogant?
Right.
That's a good.
First
point.
Of all, you have to have a certain level of brain damage to play NFL football. Like, and that's not. CTE. I'm talking about any level of
like
football.
Going into it.
Like, you know, just think, you know, the concept of running as fast as you can into another human being.
Facts.
There's a little bit of craziness involved. And I was only crazy enough to play for 2 years in high school. Then I was like, nope. My talents lie other places.
You say they drafted a rugby player?
Who drafted a rugby player? I didn't hear that one.
I don't remember exactly what team, but a rugby player, I mean, he's a
they
beast.
Signed,
like, he's
yeah.
crazy.
Well, yeah, because he's used to being out there with nope. Yeah, the 49ers had a rugby player a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
how did he turn out? Was he?
I mean, he made the 54 man roster, whatever, a 54, 53, I can't remember. Mm. You know, he went on the practice squad. He actually got to suit up on Sundays and get on the plane.
Check. Yeah, get that check.
Well, shout out to that young man. Let's jump into the news. Let's go.
He could be old.
How old is he?
I don't know.
Thank you. Let's jump into the news. This is per CNN. Israel kills dozens at the Gaza border of U.S. Embassy, which opened in Jerusalem. It says this is as of right now on CNN. It says Palestinian officials say at least 58 people have been killed in the latest rounds of protests. More than 2,700 Palestinian demonstrators were injured on Monday, at least 1,350 by gunfire along the border fence of Gaza. The health ministry reported in the mass protests began on March 30th and had already left dozens dead.
They had tennis rackets.
What?
They were swatting stuff with tennis rackets.
Oh, were?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to see all of this, Jay Moore. I know you were talking about it a little bit, but it's just sad when anytime you have, you know, that many lives that are lost in a situation. Did any of you gentlemen see anything more, have any more details? I'm not going to lie, I'm not that much up on it, but I know it's bad.
I saw a couple headlines, but that's about it. Okay. I saw the picture with the guy with the tennis racket getting ready to hit something that was incoming.
Word.
Jay
Moore, did you know anything else about it or just pretty much on the surface?
You know, of course it's complicated just because this is something that's been – you're talking about something that's been going on for decades at this point, as far as the border or the disputed the land, Strip. If you will, and it's the right. Gaza Strip. And, you know, I understand that it's a very complicated, and a lot of people want to lay blame because especially, you know, all these people are shot on the same day that 45 decides to declare that Jerusalem has a U.S. embassy.
That's true.
Okay, this is something
from Tel Aviv.
Yes, this is something that other administrations, both Republican and Democrat, have said we're not going to do this. But you know, we're living in strange days with the current president that we have. So I know a lot of people want to tie it to that and just tie it to anything political.
Right.
But you know, from what I've read and what I've seen, it needs to be more about the fact that there were unarmed men, women, and children, and paramedics, people who were trying to assist these people, who were shot by sniper fire.
Right.
Okay. And so we always get so bent out of shape about, you know, if there's one, you know, say, you know, because the president, 45, let's just go back to the, I didn't mean to call him the president, I mean to call him 45.
That's what we call him.
He'll make sure to tweet something about the tragedy if one person is attacked by a Muslim on a train in France somewhere. But, you know, when we're talking about dozens of lives of innocent, well, I'll just call them innocent because if somebody shoots you from an elevated position and you are unarmed.
Yes, sir.
You know, it is what it is. You know, you can't justify that, you know, especially if they're just occupying a space. Regardless of how you feel politically or religiously, because let's just be honest, a lot of this comes down to religion. But the fact that there are some people, you know, basically Israeli soldiers killing Palestinians, and the line from some people is like, look what Hamas did.
Right. Jump in alone. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and this isn't new.
Right.
Like you said, this isn't something that just happened, you know, when Trump decided to.
Yeah, you can't put it on him like that.
I think it's bad timing. I wouldn't put it directly on Trump, but
I mean,
but it didn't help.
That's
the reason why no one's done
another building with his name on it. That's all.
That's pretty much it.
Okay, that's what I take from it.
Helicon, jump in, man. Anything on that one?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, to echo what Jay Moore said, I mean, you're talking about a very complicated political history.
Yep.
In a very a part of the world that operates much differently than we are used to here.
Yep,
especially politically. And just, you know, again, kind of what Jay Moore said, you know, there have been multiple administrations that have made attempts to do something about the situation in the Middle East, and particularly about Israel and Palestine. But we have become, what bothers me, and we talked about this a little bit before the show started, what bothers me is just this reactionary culture that we've become, where it's like either supporting 45 or it kind of becomes this political battle when we're really talking about the fact that unarmed civilians are being killed trying to essentially claim where they live.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's not even about a political argument, you know. Right. And they're not soldiers.
Yeah. Right.
You know. And then I was just kind of sitting here scrolling through 45's Twitter feed from yesterday, and it's
like how you call him 45.
You know, big days for Israel. Congratulations, you know. Yeah. And then it goes into the so-called leaks coming out of the White House are a massive over-exaggeration.
Here
and
we
then,
go.
You know, this total witch hunt, you know. I mean, it's like there's no acknowledgement of
empathy.
And there's no, I mean, you're talking about a dude who does not have empathy, period.
At all.
Not for particular people. Like I said, if
I don't
you're
know
killed
that he has it for anyone.
If you're killed by a Muslim on foreign soil, he'll make sure to make that about how we have to tighten our because once again, we've talked about this on previous shows, how if he can make it fit his agenda, he'll show empathy.
Definitely.
If not, that's why, you know, the situation where we talked about the guy who came into Waffle House.
Mm-hmm.
Like, apparently, he's just now called him a hero. That happened a month ago.
Think about the young man that was a coach player.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
on the highway.
When he tried to make it about
It was a Muslim gentleman that ran
Hispanic,
I'm sorry. Yeah. So he turned that into border control or something stupid like that. And I'm like, fam, like, that's the last
Like, somebody lost their son.
Yeah. Yes.
You
but this fits the narrative. This fits who he is. He's totally oblivious to what's most important or what I would think would be most important.
And he's talking about us, you know, after the Russian witch hunt, I now have my best poll numbers of the year.
See?
Much of the media may be corrupt, but the people truly get it. It's like, there's one person here who clearly doesn't get it, and that's you. You know,
how does he have time to tweet about all this stuff?
That's my question.
He's not doing a lot of time reading. He's not a reader.
He doesn't read.
Like, and that's not me, you know.
That's
people within his administration.
Yeah.
He gets a lot of what he tweets about from watching Fox News. He watches television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what?
Television
he's a 71, 72-year-old man. Yeah. He watches a lot of TV. My grandfather watched a lot of TV at that time, but he wasn't
president of the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
He wasn't moving embassies.
No, you know? He certainly wasn't.
Good point. So, yeah, that's, as always, he
but
continues
but
to
let's
find
move on.
Yeah.
He, Mike, get us out of here.
Yeah.
I got you.
This could really get heated.
I got you.
And the United States have, just real quick, we have historically always been behind
Israel.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's that piece that we won't get into. But I could dig it.
But I would encourage anyone out there to research that a little bit more and understand what's really going on out there, because don't get it from Fox News or CNN for that matter. I mean, there's, you know,
that's a
like Jay Moore said, there's a deep history of major conflict and things that we don't really get here. You know,
sure.
There's a lot of things that we don't get within our own society, but it's a different level of
find a Palestinian that lives here. Or somebody like that, and have a conversation.
You're talking about, like, literally no economy, like places that don't have electricity and water. And I mean, it's brutal.
And, up in the polls.
Yeah, but we'll get out of this, because one of the things that I think has most bothered me is that when you show any empathy towards these people who have been shot and killed by snipers, there has almost been an attempt to make it into you being anti-Semitic.
I know.
I was like, we really don't need to go there. Can we just keep it about the fact that all these people have lost their lives, regardless of whose lives they lost their hands at the hands of?
Right.
You know, so it's just, it's very layered. Let's get on to something
I think
else.
We should just leave it at that, because like we all agree that's the most important part of this.
Yeah,
I think we should, out of respect for them, let's just leave
and
it at
this is
that.
Going to be a developing story. Like, this is something that could possibly dominate the summer, so we'll see.
I got you. A to Z Central .com. It says, and this is what we're talking about. I think I always get this wrong, who brought up what, right? Mm. But I'm going to guess and say, I think this was Lone about McCain.
What I say last week, I don't contribute.
Did you bring up McCain? Or
no,
was that Jay Moore?
I don't know.
I wasn't here last week.
I'm talking about before we came on.
Yeah. Tonight.
I did bring it up.
Shout out to Red August giggling. I forgot to mention him. Pay that man, by the way, for
the
his
proper
services.
Way to do it is probably just to bring it up, and then whoever brought it up
can
just
start
take
talking.
It from there.
I don't want to do it the proper way. Oh. This is the 81st episode.
This is how we could do it.
And I have not done it the proper way. Right. So why would we do it that way now?
Have no idea.
I don't know.
Just like I didn't say Sidney Poitier right.
Can you spell Poitier?
You know what?
Can you spell it?
It ain't about me.
Your mother's the English
people
teacher.
Call him Sidney Porter.
Hey, mama.
Sidney Porter.
Mama. Come on, man. Why? Terry, man, we're not going to do this today, man.
Talk about John McCain,
side.
Man.
Yeah,
I got you, man.
Yeah, we've already done this today, so just go ahead.
This is the theme.
He was showing out when I first got here today. Man.
John McCain.
No, man.
Then talk about them.
Stop, man. A to Z Central.com. Now, it says, we are approaching the third year of the running battle of words between U.S. Senator John McCain and now President Donald Trump. The latest salvo comes from a White House functionary who said McCain's opposition to CIA director nominee Gina Haspel, I believe is how it's pronounced, says it doesn't matter. He's dying anyway. So.
What's this about again?
This is about somebody saying basically McCain doesn't, who cares what McCain says, he's about to die in relation to the CIA.
Yeah, that's one of 45 surrogates. I can't, what was the young lady's name? Or young?
You know what? I copied and pasted.
You know what? Forget it. Part. Who cares?
We don't even need to mention her.
Like,
bottom line, somebody said, who cares? We're paraphrasing here. Who cares what McCain says? He's about to die anyway.
Look, you could have a disagreement about John McCain's political leanings.
Yep.
Right.
But you can't take away from this is a man that not only served his country through his military service, but then, you know, as far as getting becoming a senator, continued to serve his country.
Yep.
So whatever misgivings or disagreements I have with John McCain as a political leader, I have to respect that. You know, and the thing is, this just goes back to a lot of the things we said about 45 in previous shows. You know, John McCain, while he's basically dying, like he has terminal cancer.
Yeah,
what he has, they can't cure.
Yeah.
But the fact that, you know, he really is at this point showing more dignity, you know, in the face of death than 45 has ever shown in, you know, in all of his life.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that they can't really even get an apology. Because
that's not what
this administration does.
Not from this administration. That's not going to happen.
They
if
don't
anything,
do apologies.
If anything, they'll spin it. Jump in, Terry.
None of it is surprising when you speak of the administration.
Right.
I mean, before he got in office, he said that McCain wasn't a war hero.
Yeah,
so he
respected people who didn't get captured.
Yeah, he's always had something against McCain for the most part.
Facts.
And it's crazy because they're all the same. They're involved in the same political party.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just weird. It's Trump shit. We're not supposed to be talking about 45 anymore today.
But it's just anybody that gets in his way. It doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
If you're in the way of his whatever he wants to speak about, then you're an enemy. So
no matter the circumstances, no matter what situation you're in, your health.
He's the bell ringer.
Yeah, he's the bell ringer. He's the ultimate bell ringer.
jump in. You gotta
it's just this, you know, this kind of direction that particularly him and his supporters have driven this country of just so much hate and, you know, negativity and just unwilling to apologize and ever admit guilt or fault or say, you know what, like, we don't condone that type of, you know, why can't 45 honor a freaking U.S. senator that's in his political party?
Right.
You know?
Like, right. So that just says, selfish. Who else, if he can't honor John McCain.
And then who is he going to honor?
Who's, you know, there's no one else has any chance. Like, I look, and once again, it just shows you where the discourse is, because I don't know if you guys remember during the 2008 election when it was then Senator Obama versus Senator John McCain, and Senator McCain was at one of his rallies, and an elderly woman came up and started to ask a question and said, and he's an Arab, and
right.
John McCain goes and takes the mic from this woman and says, no. He's a decent man who I have some fundamental disagreements with, but
right.
I am not. We're not here to call people names
right.
and to downgrade the level of discourse. Mm-hmm. And people clapped. Like, now that level, that's gone.
That's gone.
That's gone.
That's long gone.
The dignity has been stripped, particularly from one political party.
Right.
And it's getting to that point in all politics, because the John McCains of our political system are, in his case, literally dying.
Right.
And they're being taken over by this, you know, culture of hate. And
he says what he means.
Like the moron revolution is what I call it. It's like just just because you thought of it and said it because you were pissed off doesn't mean that it was relevant or the right thing, you know?
Right.
I almost played Idiocracy today.
It was on a couple weeks ago. I could not watch it. I was like, this is too real and
too
annoying.
It was funnier
Camacho
when it came out than it is now, because you see oh wow, this is where we're going.
We're
going
to be there.
Yeah, I we're mean, not. Yeah,
let
we're.
Let
it's,
me
it's
let me avoid all time machines.
Thought.
Shout out to Black Mirror for going on the dark side of that. I mean, it is way too real. I'm like, this is like we're like 5 years from some of this shit.
Yeah.
Well, moving on from politics.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Because
well,
I appreciate
what's
you.
What's the next politics?
The blood pressure just like,
toppled. Bring up the next politics. The political segue.
Let's try Oakland. Oakland, California.
Let's try that on for size.
A Caucasian woman called the police on an African American family at Lake Merritt in Oakland, California last month.
There.
Shout out to Lake Merritt. While they were setting up for a day at the park, their crime, according to an unidentified woman, was grilling in one of the park's designated barbecue zones using a charcoal grill instead of a non-charcoal grill. On April 29th, the incident
That's
was
some
filmed
serious
by
shit,
a witness.
By the way.
Yeah. Very serious. And the witness was named Michelle Snyder, who confronted the woman who was calling the police on the family.
Need that clean coal.
She definitely had it recorded. The police responded to the incident but did not issue any citations, according to the Oakland police. And at this point, this lady has turned into a meme. So
that's the best part about it.
That's probably the best part. I had no idea until I watched, but read the article, and I saw Lone. Get busy today on Facebook a little bit. So I'm coming to you first, sir. Yeah,
of course you would.
With everything that you have now heard,
all right.
Give me your 2 cents on
it. It was my anti-troll. I was trying a different trolling method. It didn't quite work the way I wanted it to.
He is a master troll.
Yeah. So I missed all this happening, and then I started seeing the meme everywhere.
Right.
And I was like, why is this woman's face on every day?
I got a bit. I was the same thing. I'm like, you go to sleep for like 12 hours and you're like out of the news cycle.
And I was completely unremoved this entire weekend. So I saw this happen and I was like, all right, let me watch this video. And I watched the first 10 minutes of this woman just on her phone the entire time. It's a 24-minute video.
Mm-hmm. She was on her phone she called the police 2 hours prior to her being on that call. But go ahead. Mm.
Not like the Oakland police don't have anything better to do.
Right. Nothing at all.
So I watched the first 10 minutes of her just standing on the phone and this other white woman just kind of continually grilling her over and over and over and over again. And I was like, okay, so what exactly is going on here? So I looked it up. Apparently they were grilling in an area that you shouldn't be grilling charcoal in.
It's a big deal, right?
Per the report, this is
allegedly.
From one of the many articles that I tried to read. There's a million articles about it right now.
How does this make you feel, Lone? I'm just asking. From now on. All
right, just for a little backstory. I decided to troll a little bit. So I put a post up just to see if I could invoke certain types of responses from white people.
In an unprecedented move by Lone.
Yeah.
I like that.
But I did it in a way saying... And this was actually true because I wasn't familiar with everything. I was curious as to what the angle was to why people were upset outside of the obvious reasons to why people were upset.
Sure.
You know, I wondered if this was an area that was gentrified. I wondered if people were upset by the fact that when the other white person came down, she decided to quiet her tone up.
Mm.
I was curious if it was maybe, you know, the simple fact that it was a white woman felt like she needed to police black people that were barbecuing.
Yes.
Now those are the obvious reasons, right?
Barbecuing wild black.
But I was curious as to why, because everything that I saw in the video was just her sitting on her phone like this. So I felt like I could get away with a small little troll there, just to see if I could invoke response to see if people could get dialogue heard. That was the main thing.
Was there any information that changed?
Oh, I see where you're going.
How you may have thought about this.
Yeah, I wouldn't have done this if I saw the ending of it when she decided to start crying. Yeah, that kind of
that part kind of bothers you a little bit.
Yeah, that kind of ruined it. But no, the good part out of all was shouts to Spread Fox.
Yeah, Spread Fox. Shout
he decided he chimed in name. And he lives in Oakland. He chimed in on the gentrification of that area of that neighborhood.
Okay.
And talked about the people there and how everything has progressed throughout the years and how people there are calling the police for stupid things like that. So he had really good insight. So I was happy that he responded to it. That's actually what I wanted.
Dope.
But I didn't know that she was that when Terry showed that she started crying at the end.
First of all, that's when I started laughing at the video because it's like she was trying
I couldn't make it that far. After
weaponize her white tears, and you know how that goes.
After
and
10
she
minutes,
she turned it on like as soon as the cops pulled up. And it's funny because she turned it on once the white lady was following her, because she followed her for, however long. And then as soon as the cops got there, all of a sudden she couldn't talk anymore.
And the camera like, man, I can't believe this is not what I signed up for.
Let me ask you. Let me ask. I'm just trying to make sure I'm hearing this correctly. So after she called the police on the family or whomever was having the barbecue in the non-charcoal, whatever. So she eventually got to the point with whomever showed up at whatever time that this brought her to tears, and she turned the tears on and started crying.
I think she felt harassed probably, right?
Oh.
Because maybe the camera was in her face, but I was
I think that's what she, I'm not saying that she was actually feeling harassed. I think that maybe she was,
She provoked it for the most part. I mean, she evidently had called the police like 2 hours prior to her getting on the phone again. Okay. Obviously, it was no concern for the police that some people were in the park barbecuing.
Right.
I mean, that's what people do at the park, right?
With illegal charcoals.
I mean,
I love the term illegal charcoal.
That's some serious California shit, though. Yeah. Like illegal charcoal, you know.
So she apparently works for the environmental something or other as well.
Oh, that gives her a good
reason
to cry.
She was just sitting there waiting for somebody to start barbecuing.
Right.
And then she knew exactly where to go to say, you can't use a charcoal grill. Let me ask you this. Who's carrying a gas grill to a park to barbecue on? How many people you know have? Is there even a portable gas grill?
People that are very
You could.
Yeah, I mean, if you had
camping like a truck.
But that's not the point of having a park with
if you really care
grills.
About the environment, you will.
Man, that's bullshit.
Stop.
I mean, that's debatable, you know?
I know.
Yeah, that's, I know. This one is.
But that, like I said, it's so California, like having a law against, and then having a white woman out there trying to enforce it.
That's the smog that's out in California.
The ironic part is that it,
and they're tripping on the code.
That law isn't enforced in the entire park.
Right.
It's just that section.
It's just certain sections or something.
The black section.
What? I see what you did.
Well, no,
there.
I think, you know, say this woman is completely right, which apparently she is, like calling out this small little ordinance that honestly the police and nobody else cares
her
about.
Her charcoal
right?
game is high.
Yeah, exactly.
We
she's got that.
That
kind of time.
Her charcoal game is high.
I wonder if she had white charcoal.
Oh,
stop, man. Go ahead.
After it burns for a while.
It's a very privileged charcoal.
It's high carbon.
It just comes in a long line of, you know, we've talked about this, of white people calling black people, police on black people.
Right.
Like, I heard someone use the term that white people are using the police like Apple Care. when they're and the thing is, they're not even talking about black people doing anything criminal. It's just when they feel uncomfortable.
That's pretty good.
So sorry.
And it's this thing where I think that and people have they almost feel, and I hate to go back to 45, but I got to.
Leave
they feel,
him alone, man.
They feel deputized
Leave
by his election.
Alone, man.
To,
it's a lot of Zimmerman-esque
style. You know, to where I feel uncomfortable, even though I'm in these people's neighborhood, essentially, because I think that's something. You know, if you talk to anybody who's been to Brooklyn, who lives there now and who lived there 20 years ago, now it's completely different. Mm-hmm. And Spike Lee actually told a story about how like some neighbor said his dad needed to stop playing his music so loud on Sunday mornings, and it's like he's been here for 40 years,
right?
You know, you just got here,
right?
And you're trying to dictate the rules. It's not. Right. They don't even call it Bedford-Stuyvesant anymore. They call it Stuyvesant Heights. You know, like there's. And when these things tend to happen, you know, you have people who, okay, they wanted the, you know, they've been able to get into a situation because, oh, look, they're giving a tax abatement. We're doing all this and come in here and live. And you have no respect for the people who already live there.
Yep.
You know, and
that's common. That's even common here.
It is
for sure.
Like, but I had an episode.
That's real. That's real.
Actually, where I had DJed an event in
that's real.
Pretty much a gentrified neighborhood that's going on, and a lot of the residents are black still. So during this event, like, the mayor showed up and stuff. I'm playing like family reunion type music. The lady was upset, and Nick can actually attest to
this
story. Because of the type of music I was playing. She wanted to hear, like, more...
She wanted more hip-hop?
Yeah, that's exactly what she wanted. She wanted, like, more poppy type stuff, but everybody's having a good time at this event. So when she approaches me and tells me to pretty much change the whole program, and I'm like, for what? Like, everybody's having a good time. And so she was mad. She was telling a few people at the party, she sent Nick like a crazy email about what I was doing or whatever. But everybody had a good time. It was more about appeasing her.
Right.
And what about
the
me?
People that she wanted to be at this event exactly. than it was the people that actually live in the actual neighborhood.
Mm. Well, that's something very common if you
to
work
entice
in
yeah. different
if you work
clientele.
In the nightclub where like you could have a good crowd, but sometimes the management feels like if you just change the music, maybe we could get other people to come in here.
Can I tell you like a that's kind happened. Of a funny story
Recently.
About that?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Please do.
I DJ at Flatwater on Sundays. In the summertime. And
definitely stop by on Sundays.
Definitely.
It's a good time.
Come check me out. Sunday evening at Flatwater. And somebody wrote a little review about the first one for this year and the other day. I want to share it with everybody here today.
Right.
I love
Please
Flatwater,
share.
But I was a little disappointed that the music was so loud on a Sunday afternoon, Mother's Day, that my family could barely hold a conversation. Bring back the cool vibe and ditch the loud DJ on a lazy Sunday, please.
How many years have you been doing this?
8 years.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
So bring back the cool vibe.
When they
though.
Say bring back the cool vibe and the other DJ, they're talking
I am
about
the cool
you.
Vibe.
That sounds like Make America Great Again.
It was Samaga.
That's
Samaga.
Exactly what that sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good old feedback.
Yeah. So, interesting. Yeah, I mean, we're off to a good start.
We are.
People off, you know?
Exactly. I couldn't bring my family to a place where there was a DJ was and just talk to them.
And here's the thing. I DJed for 3.5 hours straight, and I never played a single song with a cuss word. I never played anything even remotely offensive because I never. You've been there. You know I don't do that.
Like I
said,
it's laid back. It's a good time.
And it's not even that loud.
No.
If you're coming to a place that has live music 5 nights in a row.
Yeah. I can stand right next to you and talk to you.
Right.
So I know it can't be that loud.
That's crazy,
yeah,
man.
It's a good spot. So.
But at least we got all those memes, though, out of that lady.
I mean,
I really like the somebody drew her into
Fat Albert.
Yeah.
I was a kid,
that
yeah.
shit was dope. Yeah. I liked it.
I've seen a lot of good ones. I can't retract my statements because you know it is what it is. But yeah, it's fucked up.
I feel like that.
I feel like I got trolled
is...
by myself.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You know.
That's that like master troll shit.
Troll.
You trolled yourself. That's crazy. That's
that,
a Jedi
that woman.
Move.
That woman in this world though
I'm
becomes a meme. Basically,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
her destiny is to become a meme. Yeah. So
that's
beautiful.
Her 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well,
yep.
She's out there now. So she
man,
there.
She in these streets.
Out
heavy.
Heavy in them streets.
Heavy.
Heavy in them streets.
For
that work.
For this week only.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And we'll forget about her just like we forgot about that yodeling kid in Walmart.
She's hosting the Grammys.
Yodeling kid has a song out, though.
He's still cooking.
Nobody cares. That was, you know,
he's
he had his moment.
He's making money. Yeah, he got signed.
Yeah.
What?
He's on Interscope.
Yeah, he was on he was at
he
Coachella. He opened up at Coachella.
Okay, real shit. He might not be on Interscope, but he did get signed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
he out here.
Every struggling musician just shed a tear.
Yeah.
People have been putting
I mean,
it on.
At least,
like,
at
maybe
least,
I should just go sing at
the
Walmart.
At least he can
right?
actually yodel and play an instrument, though.
I guess. I mean, it's not
like
I know can play an instrument.
It's not like
Catch
it's,
me outside.
Yeah, her, like, it's funny because now all of a sudden when people get Instagram, social media famous,
right,
they automatically want to make them an artist
it's
of some kind.
It's got
to
become something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has to become something.
How can we monetize this?
And it's easy
That's
to
really
say that
foolish.
They're a rapper.
That's
so
really
you have somebody pin some rhymes for them and shit, and now they're a rapper and now they'll be at the Emerson and shit by the time the summer hits.
They'll get some streams and then...
Yep. They're just looking at like...
That was funny for multiple
What were the impressions from this idiot?
Yeah.
I mean, like, she shook the internet, so let's go ahead and put it on record. And,
I know Dr. Phil is like, what did... I don't want any credit for this.
I did not want this to happen.
He probably gets a check for it. It's
he,
all
he
part of the
plan.
Probably the
executive producer on the day.
Yeah, that's a good point. I never thought about that.
He'll probably be on one of the skits.
Yeah.
Well... Anyway,
all right. We're just talking about trash tonight.
Yeah.
Let's jump into some music. Shout out to all of Memphis.
This is an amazing conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out to all of Memphis. We do not want to leave anybody out.
No beef.
Yeah.
North, south, east, west.
Memphis. Adjacent.
Downtown.
Adjacent.
Uh-huh. County
suburbs. Surrounding areas.
Mm-hmm.
Orange Mound. Tennessee.
Look out. All of that.
Shout out to Murfreesboro.
There you go.
Yeah, you know.
Anything else we forget about Memphis?
Knoxville.
Yeah, I mean, shouts to New York.
Yeah. Montana.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Montana, yeah.
Adjacent states.
Shout to my main crew, you know what I'm saying, out there.
Yeah, put a
New
pin.
Hampshire in the building.
Shout out
you
to
know
Young Buck, man.
Hey, Red August, put a pin in adjacent. I like adjacent. That was pretty good.
Adjacent.
So let's try hotnewhiphop.com.
Oh, we're going there, huh?
Yeah, that's where I got
that,
this.
That's the source. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this year marks the 25th anniversary of Wu-Tang Clan's debut classic. We all know 36 Chambers.
Word.
That was recorded on Loud Records. Steve Rifkin and the group plan on re-releasing.
Rifkins? I'm going to do you like you do me. Rifkins?
I definitely said Rifkin.
Okay, go ahead.
Stop,
keep going.
Man.
You
keep
also
going.
Say guest instead of guest.
I didn't say stop, man. Rifkin.
All right, keep going.
All right. So basically, they're about to do something that I think might be questionable.
Cal Ripken?
Jr. You know how many games he played?
Over 3,000 in a row. Mm-hmm,
hella.
Without missing, right?
A lot.
It's like, you know his jersey number?
I used to.
9.
All right.
I'm not even a Cal Ripken fan. I just
yeah, that's pretty good.
Watched
yeah.
a lot of sports.
Yeah.
I like right. the Orioles.
I knew he played for the Orioles.
Think about that. That dude played over 3,000 games in a row without missing a game.
That's crazy.
That is crazy. Shout out to the Warehouse.
And he got baseball money.
Man. Mm-hmm.
That's real money.
Guaranteed
baseball
contract.
Money is real money, too.
Yeah.
The bread that they give, I know this is off subject, but the bread they're giving away now for baseball players, like Mike Trout probably going to get.
Oh.
Oh. $200 million.
$250-300 million probably.
Over how long?
It don't matter.
Yeah. 10
Look,
years. But
think
gonna,
about this.
He's going to get at least half of it.
Robinson Cano, who got suspended today for 80 games, Seattle player. 80 games, that's going to cost him just over $11 million.
Damn.
Yeah, I feel like if I have
now, mind
son,
you, that's half the schedule. So that means he still made $11
million.
Oh, that is
only, that's still half the schedule. I feel like if I have a son, I'm going to be like, you know, basketball is cool, football is fun, but
nah,
you,
for
go
real.
Get that
oh,
baseball
no,
money.
But see, at least basketball money's guaranteed. See, that's I
yeah. Basketball money is guaranteed. Football see, money is the one that's questionable.
I gotta stop messing with these women who might give me like a linebacker or you know a running back. I gotta start messing with somebody going give me a power forward.
Man.
Right?
Wow,
give me a nice tall woman.
Shit, I'm looking for a shortstop.
somebody who hit a curveball. So yeah. Daddy got dreams too.
I heard. Man. Yeah.
Is Cal Ripken in the Wu-Tang though?
No, he's not.
Okay.
See, that's the tangent.
Yeah. yeah. I was just trying to bring it back.
Speaking of Wu-Tang.
Good job.
I like that. I like this guy, man. Long story short, they're going to find 9 artists today to remake 36 Chambers. So, first of all, I thought about when we first shared this last week, I was like, yo, should I even think about what 9? And I was like, nah, I'm going to go that far because I don't even know if I like this idea. As a whole,
nobody should like this idea.
Yeah,
I don't want
whoever
anyone
came up with it shouldn't like the idea. That should have been something
likes
that,
this idea
that was being talked about at a round table, and we and they was like, nah, why would we do some shit like
a 25th
that?
Anniversary tour? I'm cool with that.
Yeah,
I would go out and see the Wu if they came close to here, the Shire, whatever.
Are we seeing the first of many? You know how Hollywood right now is. Deciding that they don't have any new ideas and they just want to remake everything.
Right.
Is this the start of the remake?
Just going to start remaking whole hip hop albums.
That's whack.
I don't really think it's the start of it because if you've noticed.
For hip hop?
This is multiple genres, though. There's been a lot of artists and groups over the last maybe 5 years that have gone out and done tours that are basically playing a certain album from start to finish.
Right.
That's
right.
The show.
Bone's been doing it here. Like, it seems like Bone is here every other month doing East 99 Eternal.
Right. So there's been multiple artists that have done that, but re-recording a record?
That's whack.
Yeah,
that's the
so
part.
Yeah. So I'm saying like maybe the trend has started in the live setup because it's, I mean, that's been happening. That's nothing new. And I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't know. Like I'd rather you just rock a show rather than like, but I get it. But as far as re-recording a record, I mean, like, first of all, like you would.
Why?
So if the point of that is like a money grab. Why wouldn't you just do the tour? Because the tour is going to net you.
You're
going to
make money.
Who's going to buy this record?
Everything that's creative and quote unquote
not me.
Not me.
Everything that gets that label is not good.
That's not creative at all.
I don't want to hear anybody rapping Ghostface Killah's parts.
I have never heard of somebody trying to remake the album with a group
like that. Or trying to redo ODB's parts.
This is what is this?
That's just like
they can get a something.
You know, on VH1 Honors when people get up there and perform the rappers are honoring.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that's cool for that moment.
Yeah, I don't have
but I don't want
that.
A whole album.
Right, that's not putting out a record.
Nah,
yeah. I don't want Teyana Taylor to remake Lil' Kim's first album. Like,
nah.
And we definitely don't want Teyana Taylor doing Takitha's part on.
wow. We don't need any of that.
Yeah, anything that Takitha was on.
We're going to get Logic.
We have to find a Takitha. Takitha rated
artist. Logic to do all of Old Dirty Bastard. Right. Yeah.
The Yodeling Kid has got a part on there, too.
See, that's what they would do.
We're going to
sample
the Yodeling Kid.
They would get capable MCs.
They're going to be like, yeah, we need to get Young Thug. I'm trying to figure out who
we'll get Tekashi 6ix9ine to do all of IMS's.
We're going to pick somebody off The Bachelor.
It'll be the Double XL class of 2016.
That does this album
right.
Over.
Yeah.
That would be a disaster.
Hey.
First of all, it's not going to sound the same with all that gritty production.
It's not going to sound the same, period. Like,
it's just a bad idea, man.
There's one way. There's one way I could see this possibly being okay.
I want to hear this.
They would have to do it in a way that was similar to the way Elzai did Elmatic.
Now, that was dope.
Well, that was like a tribute album.
Exactly.
And he also didn't rap like the exact same lyrics.
He did not.
He followed the cadences.
I'm not. But that's what I'm saying. It's got to be something to where it's paying homage and it's reference. Maybe you can reference styles for every song. But if you are duplicating verses and remaking the beats sound the same.
The karaoke album.
Why? I mean.
I will say on that note. Like, yeah. I mean, if it's going to be karaoke, like. You know, like we got like our homies in Real Rude that are doing that, you know,
right,
downtown
right.
Indie. We don't need to like put that on a record that's being released across the world. Right. But depending on the quality of the artists that are on it, have the artists been like selected or announced?
I think this is just an idea out there. Because
I think if you had amazing rap artists on there, maybe if it was versioned somehow, it could be dope. But I still just don't see what the point of taking. Any record for that matter.
Just
but
re-release
like one
the
of
album.
The top hip-hop albums ever. Re-release the album.
Maybe put some outtakes
make
on it.
Make it like a box set or like a record store days type release where it's like
put
cool
a shirt.
I'd rather hear like old school demos or something like that.
Right.
Just
some shit that didn't make it. But
like I tell people, I don't even want them to ever remaster that album because if they try to go in there and make all the levels right and take all the hits out, I'm like, that's not what I wanted out of that or Wu-Tang Forever.
The same.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near the same, man. Like that whole
Skyzoo
sound.
Did Ode to Reasonable Doubt too.
Him and shot the Skyzoo and
Man Wonder.
Now they killed that. But he did not rap the bars.
But there's ways to do it, you know?
Yeah, they killed that. That project was dope. But I think that one was tastefully done. So
Jay-Z once when Reasonable Doubt turned 25, he had a release of tape cassettes.
Yep.
25-year tape cassettes.
And he did a joint at Radio City Music
Hall. Right, that was it.
Yeah, that was cold.
Yeah, there's no reason to re-record it.
Follow Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Wu-Tang is a little older, but still.
They can't do that much.
Not really.
Well, I mean, technically, Jay-Z was in the game before them.
Let me rephrase my wording. Wu-Tang Clan came out. With their big hit in 93, right?
Cream.
And Reasonable Doubt was 95?
Reasonable Doubt was 96.
We're not talking about multiple years.
He was also touring with Jazz.
That's what I meant.
We're talking about Jay-Z having a song that people knew.
Talking about 36 Chambers versus Reasonable Doubt, though.
Yeah,
that's about a three-year difference. So.
In either case, that record doesn't need to be covered and re-released.
Yeah. I think that's what we're all getting to. Yeah. It's like, no, we don't want that.
Yeah, man. Like, I'm cool on that. Just give me some B-sides we never heard. Terry's point, throw a T-shirt in there or something.
No remade B-sides by affiliate. Mm-mm.
Give me
producers.
Some wax or something with all this on it.
No D-level affiliates.
No D-level affiliate
producers.
Please,
no D-level affiliates.
What if they did the whole album and was just all affiliates?
No, man.
We're back on this again this week.
Shout to Mathematics.
The affiliates.
I'll tell you what, if you bring it up, I'm going to talk about it.
I heard that. No D-level affiliates. Now, let's jump to Spotify.
Okay.
Kells, Robert Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name, man? I ain't going to say.
The Pied Piper of R&B.
No, not Kells.
Pied Piper, what's literally.
Extension.
There you go. Is that how he says it?
I don't know.
Extension.
He's the extension guy.
The extension guy. XXX extension.
How do you spell that, Mike?
I refuse. So basically, he was removed from Spotify.
Playlists
as well as Robert Kelly.
I guess music is available.
Officially sponsored Spotify playlists, I believe.
Which are like gold. Those are the ones you want to be on because the streams are high.
But this doesn't mean that they're being removed from Spotify, though,
you can
right?
still listen to
not
their
catalog.
Music. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just not their. So, it's
he's still getting paid if you go in there and type in his name and just listen to it.
But I guess the thing is those playlists are
curated.
High volume. They're curated. Mm-hmm. Kind of like on iTunes. So if you get pulled from those in terms of actual streams, like, you're going to feel it a little bit because those are the ones, if you will. But since Kale's been out here bad and XXX was accused of... Oh, man. I hate saying that.
I don't think there was accused. I think he was actually convicted.
I'm sorry. He's convicted.
Is it when he was beating his ex-girlfriend or something?
There's
or?
A video of that, right?
Yeah,
or something like that.
I don't know.
But either way, they're using that now to say that they have been removed from these main playlists. So I think XXX...
The other guy.
Did a list of some of previous artists, classics, like legends that had prior offenses or whatever. So it made me think, like, is this going to become a trend? Is this something that we're going to start seeing on iTunes or Tidal or anything like that? Or are people going to start falling in line and taking heed to pull these people away from these major lists or not? What do you guys think, Long?
I think it's a bold statement.
Very bold statement.
I think it's an extremely bold statement by Spotify. The thing that kind of brought, that perked my, when it first came out, I was like, ooh, I wonder what's going to pop up. I didn't think about it too much. I was like, I wonder what people are going to say is the problem with this.
Yep.
I didn't think about it too much. And then I saw an article about it being problematic, the fact that, you know, they targeted two black artists and they didn't target any white artists, which is relevant. I think it's interesting the artists that they chose to do that for. I'm curious if they are going to expand on that or if or how, or if they're going to create a criteria for it.
Right.
Honestly, I don't even know who curates these playlists. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious about that as well. Is this just people that are curating the playlist deciding this, or I'm kind of ignorant on the subject, to be honest, so I don't really know much of the detail, but I'm curious about all that.
I think it probably just came from the higher ups at Spotify. They've seen a way, I mean, and I hate to say it, a lot of this stuff is all PR and bidding wars to get listeners. So you have this whole thing with R. Kelly, and people are telling people to boycott his music, telling DJs not to play his music, telling the radio to take it off. And then, so you have iTunes, you got Spotify, you got Google Play. Spotify pretty much put themselves out there like, we're removing them from playlists, which is going to spark the attention of some people that may or may not support R. Kelly or people in those same positions. So they may start listening to Spotify versus listening to iTunes, Google Play, whatever. And I just hate to be the person that always sees it like that.
Right.
But the reality of things and how things work and how people's gears turn and money is the big thing.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So it comes down to that.
That's the bottom
That's
line.
That's my opinion on why they would do something like that.
Jump in, Helicon.
I mean, I think you just nailed it. I mean, these decisions are never made based on anything other than that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you're talking about executives running any company, I mean, that's their one drive, you know, is to make money. And so whether it's Spotify or any other large company, that's just what they're going to do.
Right.
So, you know, but I think, you know, to the point that kind of started this discussion, is this going to start a trend, or is this going to start, you know, is the banana going to continue to peel, so to speak? And is this thing going to start unraveling? Because, I mean, you're talking about a really slippery slope in the music industry.
There's a lot of gray area in this.
I'm looking here. Apparently, this was pressured by a social media campaign called Mute R. Kelly, which I wasn't familiar with. So,
and look,
I'm
not trying to like silence anyone who's trying to speak up against someone who's done wrong things. And clearly, Kel's got some issues, you know. But like, you know, I think the big thing, again, for me is like, I don't necessarily agree or disagree with any of that stuff, but the real question is, what is that going to do industry-wide or across other artists, particularly on streaming platforms? Because that's really where most people are listening to their music these days.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and the thing is, I feel it's kind of the same way that J Diff does. It's hard not to be a little bit cynical when people do things like this, because, okay, you did this to Kelly and the kid with the tattoos on his face. And
Tentacion.
Exactly. And, okay, is this just something you did to occupy space within this particular news cycle? And now that that news cycle has run its course, you're done. You haven't created any sort of criteria for who you're going to take off of these playlists.
Right.
Because we still spoke about this before. We were talking about Bill Cosby and, you know, as far as going back and reassessing people's art and how we view their art. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're, like I said, are we going to go back and get James Brown because he used to hit, put his hands on women? Are we going to take all the Temptations off of old school kids because of David Ruffin? Are we going to take down Jerry Lee Lewis because he married his 14-year-old cousin?
Wow.
Like, where does it stop?
That's what, real.
And if it, and if you're just arbitrarily taking people off based off of a particular group putting pressure on you as a corporation, okay, say that.
Right.
But and make that clear. But at the same time, you're opening up the door for any special interest group who has maybe even just a personal problem.
Yeah.
You know, just think about if it was streaming in the time of Death Row. And C. Dolores Tucker could have been like, okay, I need you to take all the Snoop Dogg's records, you know, because I'm personally offended and I don't like this this vision of how he treats women. And so, and then that pressures them, if you're not going to do that, take everything off Interscope down. You know, so once again, if you're not, if you're actually about that action and about setting a standard, then come out with a specific, these are the things that will get you taken off of curated playlists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then apply that to everybody. If you're just going to do this for the news cycle, then you're we know you're not doing, you don't care.
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like,
I agree with that.
If you're not going to really, if you don't really care, like, that's going to come out in the wash too, and then that's going to make me see you as less of an entity as far as a corporation, because like don't do that. That's just the worst.
There's not enough bandwidth to police this.
Right.
Because we're in the era right now where I can put out an album on Friday and it'll be on Spotify in a week.
Right.
Right.
Who's listening to my album top to bottom to hear what I'm... is it going to...
Right.
Well, here... That brings up another issue, I guess.
Does it have to be submitted to a board? Like, it's another form of censorship.
What if it's in the music and it's not in real life?
Right. Right.
Does that suggest something
because
as well?
There are people that are going to say...
What about Eminem?
How many times have we all heard that... prime example, we talked about this a while back, but you take Future, for example. He talks about, oh, I really don't do the stuff I rap about, but it's just art. Like, this is what I'm doing is because it's popping. Or you got people that are here portraying certain things and lifestyles that they're really not actually doing. So
it just has to be defined as
exactly
if it's going to be something like, what exactly is our credit?
If you find out, say, like a gospel artist, and you find out he beats his wife, you're taking all his music off.
Yep.
Right.
But if there's some gangster rap artist, I hate using gangster rap because it's not actually a thing. But
let's just go with that.
Yeah, exactly. We'll go with that for everyone outside of this podcast who's sitting here.
What do you mean? What?
say he's the type of person that goes home to his wife every night, takes his kids to school, but he rhymes about the most deplorable parts of...
Yeah.
Just life in general.
Yeah, supporting Trump.
It's like a lot of gangster rappers aren't really gangsters.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like these guys
go home.
And then
there's some gospel artists
who are out here hoeing. Yeah.
You know?
So
that's real.
Yep. You know, let's come up with a real criteria, or else this is just a move by corporate America to occupy a news cycle.
Yep. Another little PR moment.
Yeah.
ATM.
Coinage.
Yes, sir. I don't know, man. I really don't know. Like, the funny thing is about it, I just thought about it. Like, yo, he can really have an album up in a week.
Yeah.
Like, that fast.
Mm-hmm. There's no, like, worrying about channels of distribution.
Exactly.
And
don't think for a second when R. Kelly drops his album that they're not going to have it on there. Because they still want you to come to their platform and listen to the album.
Listen to it.
True.
Just
to
curate.
Just not on the playlist.
And
that's another statement, too. Because if they really were really interested, it might be illegal. They might run into legal issues if they try to take the music off.
Right.
I mean,
that's fair.
Like, to bring up your point, though, because, like, really, R. Kelly has never done anything on a record that's been, you know, controversial or questionable or offensive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's his life that they're doing this about.
Yeah.
So, kind of like we were talking about with the, like, certain types of rap music that really makes me think of like Tipper Gore and like the whole
censorship. Yeah, the PMRC.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like this whole like we can't expose our youth or whatever to this type of music when it's just another art form that just didn't relate to those people, you know?
I think it would be a lot bigger of an issue to me if there was a censorship of the art itself.
Right.
As opposed to them censoring
artists'
them
lives.
For their lives.
Mean,
but that's just me personally.
The same thing happens though, when with not with music, but we all know, I think we talked about this The Cosby Show was taken off the air.
Yep.
Right.
Before he was convicted, though.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They wanted to get out ahead of it.
It's right.
Money. PR.
It's money.
Yeah.
Exactly. Another show, though, One Hill Tree, I believe. One Tree Hill. One Tree Hill. That guy was convicted as a pedophile or something?
No, you're thinking of Seventh Heaven.
Seventh Heaven, that's what it was.
And the guy portrayed a minister on the show.
On the show, but they didn't take that show off.
No, it's still on, and, like, yeah. you can... and he was caught up in, like, child porn.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And so, but there wasn't this, like, let's
he had
get...
He had them child porn eyes, though.
What?
I don't want to ever hear that again.
Hold up, what?
Well, don't, yeah, let's get past that.
Yeah,
hey, Red August, don't put a pin in that. I don't want that one.
Yeah.
But, you know, but, like,
he was always creepy looking.
We're
going to
Men in Black that part.
Yeah, we don't even need that one. Go ahead.
Men in Black out that. But the, you know, in Hollywood, this has started to unravel a little bit. Because,
oh, yeah.
I mean,
right.
You're talking about, you know, House of Cards taking Kevin Spacey. Yep. I mean, literally the lead character in the show. I mean, and he's not been someone who anyone ever thought even remotely anything like this. There's no, you know, his life is questionable until one
except
story
the Family Guy.
Out.
The Family Guy kind of. I don't know how they get out so far ahead of some of this stuff.
I mean,
but
yeah, that's true.
Because
it's a cartoon.
That yeah, but they even had the whole thing about Bruce Jenner.
They've done everything.
Yeah.
They've literally covered everything.
But hey, the Simpsons predicted Trump, so, you know.
They predicted a lot of
shit.
Did.
Yeah.
Simpsons did it.
It's low-key scary when I see the screenshots and I see, you know what I'm saying, when the air, what?
But that said, even with R. Kelly, though, I honestly, this is the thing. I worked in radio when all this went down and the videotape came out.
Yeah.
He's one... You know, a summer anthem away from people getting over this again.
Man.
Because
now
I'm telling you,
fact.
there was a quick time where, with R. Kelly was featured on a lot of stuff, and they wouldn't put him in the videos, and you know he wouldn't be at award shows. But I remember the song where an artist said, "You know, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and have him back in the video." And it was some of y'all might remember this record. It was Fat Joe, "We Thuggin'."
Yep.
That was the first time, like, R. Kelly was kind of back. And I remember they sent the CD to the radio station. My PD told me to say it because I was on a Sunday night. So it was going to cause some controversy, whatever. So he said, play the Ignition song. Now, mind you, there's a regular version of Ignition that nobody ever knows.
Nobody knows it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, at the end, it says, now, he says that. Now, usually I don't do this.
Right.
And that was like, oh. But then people called him and was like, man, this is crass. And R. Kelly is this, that, and the third. But when the remix to Ignition came out.
Man.
People were like, oh, I don't, you know, he was foul. But then when Step in the Name of Love and the Chocolate Factory album came out. People were like, well, maybe he didn't have sex with them kids.
I ain't
like,
go it front. Was, Chocolate was, Factory was lit.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
And
I,
so.
I can't take anything
it's
away
just,
from
it's
that.
Just like in the NFL, like, you know. You are 1,000-yard season or hit song away from people getting over whatever it is you did.
That's a fact.
I don't know. The NFL ain't quite wired the same because
no, they weren't. They are. Yeah, you're right. It was at a. There was a point because remember they was gonna let Ray Rice back in the NFL until the videotape
they
came
really
out.
They really did think about. Yeah,
no,
they
it wasn't thought about.
About.
He was. He only got a 2-game
yeah.
suspension. So
yeah.
if he'd have came back and say that Ravens got to the playoffs and he had a you know a 1,300-yard season, they'd have been like, well, you know what? He's been contrite, and you know we just gotta forgive people, and everyone's not perfect. Mm. But we saw that videotape and we were like, nah, we can't overcome this, so
right.
he's out of here. But I'm Kyle telling you,
was throwing more completions than a lot of them.
Yeah,
quarterbacks got picked up.
What if Colin Kaepernick had 4 Super Bowl rings?
Well, I mean,
people are like, well, you know, you do got to understand.
You got to understand, you know, but
it's a business.
It's, yeah. you know, it's a business. And, you know, maybe we should, but, you know, they didn't, if he was, and the thing is, if he was better, like say the 49ers had gone 8-8 that season.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, and until, and honestly, last year, he was still the best quarterback that they had available, even though he wasn't on the team.
Yep.
That's a fact.
Yeah. So, like I said, if R. Kelly came out with a banger, people would talk that talk. But I'm telling you, as someone, everyone who DJs in these nightclubs, there's stuff with questionable content and people who've done questionable things. And you know what? As long as the song is good enough, people are get over it. I was in a club last week and they played, not Your Body's Calling, but My Mind's Telling Me No.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and people weren't like, boo, turn that off, R. Kelly. No, you know what?
Yeah.
They were still out there bumping
and grinding.
Trying
to bump
and
grind.
Yeah, bump and grind. Yeah. I can't remember. I don't know why I couldn't.
That's
going
to continue to happen. I believe.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to continue to happen.
Hey, I saw, shout out to Rachel Rubes, my fiance. We saw R. Kelly, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years ago, not that long ago, at Pitchfork in Chicago. And he was one of the headliners. And I mean, there wasn't nobody there complaining about a damn thing.
Because you know why? Wasn't here last summer?
Like
he,
I think it was last summer.
He killed it. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it was an amazing show. We were up in the front. I mean, it was like, it was way too crazy. But
So whatever you have to say about his music or about him as a person, you can't act like he hasn't given us some of the most incredible music over the last 20 years.
Can't front on that.
You can't front on it.
Let's go ahead and wrap.
Ryan, if you want to tell him a little bit about it, we should have got that out earlier.
Yeah.
If you want to kind of
talk about R. Kelly.
No.
Your relationship with R. Kelly?
Yeah.
I have zero relationship with R. Kelly.
Well, now, if you want to kind of let the people know who you are, what you do,
where you're going to be.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Like I said, introduced at the beginning, DJ Helicon. I do my Sunday thing in the summertime at Flatwater. That's every other Sunday, typically. Okay. It's kind of a weird little pattern that we have to follow because of holidays and that type of thing. But yeah, usually get started around 6 o'clock. It's a little nice little vibe out on the patio. But yeah, I mean, I DJ around town. I don't do a ton of club stuff anymore just because I'm an old man and I run a digital marketing company during the day. And so yeah, I got I got life to do. So, but yeah, I'm still out there DJing and doing the wedding thing, and got a couple other things I'm cooking up that you'll probably start hearing about.
Yeah, he also was a big part of Orange, for those that don't know. Was an arts festival that was going on in the city for how long did you do that?
13 years.
13 years. Dope. Yeah.
DJ,
it's missed.
DJ for the Mud Kids as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Nice. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Mud.
Shout out to the reunion you guys had a few weeks ago.
That was great. Yeah, we did a little thing for Record Store Day out behind Luna Music, and man, it was amazing. And we dusted it off after almost 10 years.
Wow.
Since we'd done a show, and I thought it went pretty well.
No.
I saw clips on Instagram. Yeah.
We were all sore the next day. I mean,
that's what's up.
It was
man.
Wild.
We definitely appreciate you sitting in with us.
Yeah, I appreciate y'all having me, man. Thank you. I'm a big fan of the show.
We appreciate you, man. Thank you. Is anybody got anything popping before we wrap it up?
Thursday night is the build.
Okay.
You mean tonight?
Yeah, tonight. Sorry. I could have filled it in when I was.
It's all right, though. We see you.
You know how to cut and splice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, sir.
Not when there's a video involved. So, Mike
ain't doing nothing. Go ahead, man.
Nah, so the build is Thursday night from 6:30 to 8:30. We're doing a jam session. It's our quarterly, give or take. We do it once or twice a year.
Okay.
So, be vegan dishes there as well.
There will also it's also a jam session, and not a vegan potluck, but vegan dishes for you to eat. Also, special food as provided by the Jazz Kitchen as well. It's not vegan for people that aren't vegan, but you can come and jam out, bring your stuff. It's at KI Kepra off of Boulevard, right next to Crown Hill Cemetery.
Okay.
So, got one after work this Friday.
Yes, oh, yeah.
Back
in
the
game.
Effect.
Yes,
nice
sir.
We took a month off, but we're back. It's hot outside, so it should be nice. He sounded like a Speedway commercial.
Yeah, I know where that's from, though. That's a W album.
Exactly. We just talking about Wu-Tang. So.
Yeah, that's a W album. Jay Moore, what we got popping?
Let's see. Of course, tonight I'll be at Tiki Bob's with DJ Lemmy Vice and DJ Gabby Love. So shout out to Teddy Hardy. He's holding that down. And let's see. Actually, Friday, I think we're going to be, of course, at Wine After Work.
Yes, sir.
And then Sideline Sports Pub in Avon with DJ Flytie. Then, of course, next week, don't forget, every Tuesday at Coach's Tavern with DJ Metronome.
All right. That's going to do it for episode 81. We appreciate everybody for checking us out. Remember, www.patreon.com/newoldheads. That's our Patreon.
Oh.
We got a lot of dope stuff going on there.
Impressive.
I like it.
And go get that Songs in the Key of Marvin, my new EP. I got some dope beats on there.
Indeed.
And we will see you guys next week. We appreciate the love. Peace.